Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, honeys. Hello. Welcome to Natch Butte. I have to warn you that the next 3 months of Natch Butte are going to be a little bit different than you're used to. So if you happen to be a new listener, hello and welcome. I am Jackie J, the host of Natch Butte. If you're an older listener, hello, thank you for returning. Please get excited. I am officially on maternity leave. I'm having a baby. And while I'm having this baby, getting to know it, nursing it, etc., I've decided to take a little break from Natch Butte. Now, Natch Butte isn't going anywhere, sweetie. What's going to happen while I'm gone is I'm having some of my past guests / dearest friends fill in for me as the host. And each of them was told you can interview whoever you want. Some of them are going to be doing characters. Some of them are going to be doing more editorial style interviews. You don't know what you're going to get. And that's why it's extremely festive and fun. So who's coming up? Honey, I don't know. I'm going to throw this intro on the front of a lot of the eps, so I don't know who you're about to hear. You're going to have to read the title or listen and find out, but whoever it is somebody fantastic. I'm so grateful to my dear friends for filling in for me. It's going to be fun and exciting, and thank you for still listening while I'm gone and supporting Natch Butte. I will be back, hopefully, in September, sweetie. I'm going to take June, July, and August off. Maybe I'll be back a little sooner. Maybe I'll be back a little later. That's going to depend on a lot of things. My uterus, how it's going down, how I'm feeling, childcare, all factors. But I really appreciate the support, and I hope you enjoy the excitement that is about to happen with all of the fill-in hosts of Natch Butte. As much as I'm excited, sweetie, so thanks for being here, and please enjoy the next 3 months of exciting Natch Butte.
Sunscreen don't come off when you sweat. Silk pillowcase to go to bed. When the lights are dim and your hands are shaking to put that cream all on your neck. And then you think of what you bought and how you hope to God it was worth it. When the lights are dim and your heart is racing as the eye mask touch your skin. This pod has wit, scrub for your lips, a hotter host, a better guest than any pod you'll ever need. The honey, it's Natch B. Finding all the ways to just love me. Let's get these cream hearts beating. Natch Butte, Natch Butte. So metrosexual boys and Jackie's girls, will you dance to this beat and hold your serums close? Thank you so much.
That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you to all of the listeners. Guys, I am your fill-in beauty talk shock jock, a duchess of creams, the host with a decent amount of serums, the cutest curtain bangs in Brooklyn, your favorite over 30s political newsletter writer, your East Coast stoner aunt, Elise Morales, filling in for Jackie J today, and with me, joining me is one of my dearest friends. She's a curly girl. She's a Texas girl. Mm-hmm. You've seen her slanging wares on all sorts of commercials, and you will continue to see her slanging wares on all sorts of commercials. She is the editorial director at Virgin Voyages. It's Bailey Balzora.
Hello. Hi. I'm so excited to be here. I love this podcast.
I know. I never had a doubt as to who I was going to have be my guest when Jackie asked me to guest host on this pod. You're my number one beauty friend, I would say. That's like a big part of our friendship.
Oh, absolutely. We're obsessed with that. It's important. It's extremely important.
It is, because we are part of a threesome, if you will, me, mm-hmm. you, and Katie Ruth Ashcraft, our dear friend, director Katie Ruth Ashcraft. But I would say that the thing that's special to our friendship is serums, creams, lasers, skincare. Lasers are a huge part of our friendship.
Lasers are a major foundation of why we are friends, and will continue to be, I imagine, for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm gonna kick this off the same way that Jackie always kicks off the pod. So, gotta ask, what type of skin do you have? And you can answer this in any way. You can take it literal, or you can say, I don't know, something more figurative. However you feel your skin is best described.
She needs work. She's dramatic.
Dramatic right now, skin.
I have very dramatic skin. I have, like, theater girl energy skin. In that, I had clear skin as a teenager, and then in my 20s, it, like, blew up, and I had horrible acne, and tried every cream in the GD world, and Accutane was the only thing that kicked it, and now it's gorgeous. So, look, now I'm happy with it. I love it. I have no notes, but it required bringing in a giant heavy hitter in order to do so. So I would say dramatic.
Yeah, dramatic. Your skin is Lea Michele.
Like 100%. If my skin was a celebrity, it's Lea Michele. She's talented, but she's
but
not
problematic.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. She's not nice.
And not very nice.
No, she's not nice. She has evil theater girl energy.
That's perfect. That's a perfect answer. And I want us to talk more about Accutane, because we're not Accutane twins, but we're Accutane Irish twins, mm-hmm. which is a term for when you're born 9 months apart that my family uses. Anyway, but I have a couple more questions for you. What is the first beauty product you ever bought or used? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was actually these like stack of glitter circular eyeshadow things that are like, they were called True Colors, and they sold them in like a cabana thing in the mall in Barton Creek Mall in Austin, Texas. And I'm almost certain they have asbestos in them. Like, I don't, that brand I never saw again in my entire life, but I still have it and I still wear it on New Year's Eve.
I can picture like the little, it's like a little plastic stack of yes. powder eyeshadow. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I had that exact same one, but I definitely am familiar with that packaging of eyeshadow from that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I maybe did have a really pale blue shimmery eyeshadow that came in one of those.
I think that was their modus operandi. So that makes sense. Yep.
Pale blue shimmery eyeshadow was the moment in our youth. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. With a pair of butterfly clips, it was like you were limited to .com before .com was a thing.
You were yeah, looking did amazing. Did you ever have a .com?
I don't know if it made it into the .com world.
I truly don't know.
No, I don't know either.
Yeah. Wow. Well, somebody write in and tell Jackie whether
let us know.
Ever had a .com. So, okay. Jackie always also asks someone a question that is tailored specifically to them. It's their special question. You already mentioned Texas. You're a Texas girl. Jackie's a Texas girl. So my question for you is, what is your favorite thing about Texas?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really hard question. God. Oh.
I know that you have deep love in your heart.
Yeah, I have my problems with it, and I have so much more love for it than I do problems. Most of my problems are of a political kind, but the people are really, really, really special there. And like the diversity of the state, just from all different parts of it, no matter where you are, it's huge, is incredible. Like, you meet just the salt of the earth kind of people. And that's what always tempts me to potentially move back, is just like the people. It's like this wonderful cross section of like Southern, West, like where I'm from, like very progressive, hippy dippy world. Mm-hmm. And
keep Austin weird, baby.
Keep it weird, baby. It's getting less weird with all the corporate bros coming in, but we got to fight back.
Well, they're their own version of weird, I'd
that's
say.
True.
Maybe
that's
not
true.
The weird that is, it's not the weird that we're talking about on the bumper sticker. But they
no,
are weird.
You know what? You're right. They maybe, you know what? You're right. It's good to get checked. Also, I love the blue bonnets. As a literal answer, I love the blue bonnets. Mm-hmm. They're blooming right now. I miss them. Like, driving down the highway, looking at the blue bonnets, like, I felt zen whenever that happened.
Yeah. Well, as you know, my sister is an Austin transplant, mm-hmm. and she sings its praises every day. So I very much enjoy having a reason to go and visit Texas, and particularly Austin, because I love Austin every time I've been. So perfect. Okay, next and final question. Yeah. What is the most beautiful thing about yourself?
Is it physical or mental?
You can go either way, whatever. I think there are many physically, mentally, and emotionally beautiful things about you, Bailey, but what's popping to mind for you?
I think probably if I'm being kind to myself, if I'm going to say something nice about myself, which requires connecting with your sense of self-worth for a minute, it's mm-hmm. that I really prioritize my friendships.
That's very true.
Throughout my life, I try to make sure to, like, cultivate those relationships, whether it's high school, college, my 20s, whether it's different parts of my adult life. I make sure that I stay in contact, even if it's not every day, but I want to nourish those friendships because they genuinely mean everything to me.
That's so true. And that's something that I really think is beautiful about you, because you're someone who, like, I'll be like, oh, what are you up to tonight? And you're like, oh, I'm getting drinks with my friend from a job from 10 years ago. And I'm like, what? You keep in touch? I have one or two friends from every part of my life, and you have a full friend group from every part of your life. And I find that very admirable. I don't know if it's exhausting. It seems like it brings you joy.
It's not exhausting in that I think it serves me. Like, mm-hmm. and also obviously those people are working just as hard. So it's not like I'm the only reason that's happening. But I do think that, like, a sense of community is something I really like. And so if I've cultivated that in a part of my life, I don't want to let it go, even if I'm not presently in that moment in my life.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a very beautiful thing about you. And then I'll say physically a beautiful thing about you is you're a major curly girl. You've got great. Beautiful curly hair. And I know that has been a big part of your beauty journey.
Oh, yes.
So let's just dive in with curly girl stuff. I know, take me from, like, straightening your hair, because I know that you were doing that for a time, to embracing the curls. Mm-hmm. How long did that take? What was that journey like for you?
So I grew up in the era of stick straight hair, overplucked eyebrows, and I have a lot of hair. Like, I have a lot of hair on my arms. I have a lot of big eyebrows, long eyelashes, really thick hair. But that was just not in. It just wasn't in. So I plucked my eyebrows to oblivion, so there were little sperm swimming around in my face, and straightened my hair, fried it every single day in high school. Even before I would play soccer games, I was a soccer player, and I would straighten my hair for soccer games, which is unhinged. And I would say I continued that in college, and then, like, right after college, got lazy because that's when I was, like, going through my stoner phase. So, like, my, like, natural hair felt, like, more in line with my stoner vibe. And then I was living in New York, and I had people that had curly hair telling me, like, why would you straighten your hair? It looks so pretty. You need to, like, leave it alone and let the curls, like, kind of pop. And no one had ever told me that, because my dad has my hair, but other than that, like, my mom doesn't really have my hair, so I don't think she knew how to, like, help me with that. Yeah. My sister has straight-ish blonde hair. So I think it was, like, an evolution in my mid-20s of, like, people being like, no, you shouldn't straighten it, and me being like, but it's kind of, like, funky. And they're like, you gotta leave it alone for a year. So I left it alone for a year, got an amazing hairstylist her name is Giovanna, and she is based in the East Village. Ugh. She is an absolute godsend. When I booked a hair
to have a hairstylist named Giovanna, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
She is amazing. She does God's work, and my hair is only the way it looks because she exists. Not to put her on such a large pedestal, no pressure, but yeah. So I think that basically since that point, like, I never straighten my hair unless an audition calls for it or something. Like, why? It'll take 3 hours. And also, I don't think it looks as good.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen you with straight hair a handful of times.
It's a rarity.
You straightened for my wedding. You got a blowout.
I did. Because my hair will take up the entire, all the pictures. And I didn't want my hair to be blocking like one of your bridesmaids.
So, that was the thing. You were like, do you want me to straighten? And I was like, no, you don't. Oh my God, I would never ask you to do that. And you were like, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for the health and safety of everyone in the photos.
Just imagine Chris. You can't see Chris's face because my hair has eclipsed him. And Chris is just not a face. Like that was a real possibility. And I just couldn't be responsible for that.
Have you thought like in your own future wedding, we do? I feel like you're allowed to take up as much space as you want in your wedding photos. So will we be curly? Are you leaving it up to how you feel when you get there? What do you think?
I've actually never thought about it because I'm not one of those people like thinks about my wedding too much. But I think I would definitely leave it curly, mostly because that feels the most me. And like on my wedding day, I would want to feel me. Yeah, maybe I would make it huge just to make sure no one missed me. Like,
that absolutely. I feel like you should go the opposite direction and like really just make it the biggest version that it could possibly be.
I mean, you're the bride. That's scary. Yeah, I feel like people should get out of the way for my hair, not just like my dress.
Exactly, right? Because if there's any day where you can just be blocking everyone else in a photo,
yeah,
it's your wedding day.
Yeah, my own husband is like not able to be seen.
Now, as far as curly girl products that you use now, do you have any recs for the honeys?
Okay, so I only wash my hair once a week, but every time I wet it, I condition it. So that's, for me, it's less about the product and more about the routine, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. Where the brand that you get, I will throw down the brands, but I don't think it's about the brand so much as like the routine. So I use like a combination of Aveda and Oribe. But Oribe smells like heaven, but it's also like $1 million. So I have to balance it with using a more affordable brand like Aveda. So I wash it once a week with an Aveda shampoo and do a deep Oribe mask. And then every other day, I probably wet it and condition it. And then when I get out of the shower, I comb it in the shower, but I never, ever comb it or brush it once I get out of the shower. And instead, I put oil or sometimes a curl cream in it and usually just scrunch it and let it air dry. But if I have an audition where I need it to like really pop and like really look like the best, most pristine curls, I will, as soon as I get out of the shower, do a mixture of gel and curl cream from Aveda, douse my hair in it, let it sit for 15 to 20 minutes, then take a diffuser to it on and off for 30 minutes. And then we're working with a big curly moment. So it depends what sort of the day calls for.
Yeah, man. My hair isn't as curly as yours, but it's pretty curly, pretty thick hair. And the diffuser, when the diffuser came into my life, it really changed everything. And I will shout out my dear friend Megan from high school, who was the first one to say, have you seen this thing called a diffuser? And I said, Megan, what are you talking about? What is this claw that you're attaching to blow dryer? And it changes the game. It changes the game for curls.
I remember when I saw the claw for the first time and I was like, that can't possibly make blow drying your hair for curly hair possible. It didn't compute until someone did it to me and I was like, I'm different now. I'm changed.
Yeah. I'm changed forever. I'm changed. Yeah. I will say that my cat is very afraid of the diffuser. Mm. And if she encounters it in any way, if I like I'm doing my hair and like sometimes I'll have stuff on the ground or whatever, she will attack the diffuser, I think because of the claw aspect. She thinks it's an alien or a monster. And that's
fair.
I get it. I get it. It makes a really loud noise and it's shaped like a claw, so.
Yeah. I don't particularly love how it looks, but I just love what it does. You know?
It is kind of like an unwieldy, like, big, giant thing that I, like, when I have to pack it in my carry-on, it creates a lot of my issues.
It, like, pokes through and you're just like, what? Oh, yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned this before. We are Accutane Irish twins. We did I did Accutane first. You did Accutane right after me.
Yep.
So I figured, I don't know, I thought it would be interesting for us to talk through the adult Accutane experience because I think both of us came out of it with skin looking fabulous.
Fresh. Yes. I have no regrets.
Yeah, it's definitely an intense medication. Like, I've never, I personally have never been on an intense regimen of medication in that way that I felt, like, very much affected by it and weird. I got really dry. I know you had some weird stuff. I can't, what was weird thing that happened to you?
I was really dry, obviously, but I didn't mind that because I was, like, prepared. But I got really bad body aches, like joint aches. And it was joint aches and dry eyes. And they've both gone away since I've gone off, which is what the doctor told me would happen. So it ultimately was worth it. But it was like doing yoga was hard. I felt like a geriatric person trying to do yoga because of the way that it made my joints feel, which wasn't great. But
yeah, no, it's not the best.
That being said, yeah. I think the biggest side effect that people, or it's not a frequent one, but people have had is like the depression, which I didn't have at all. I didn't have a mood change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also felt really lucky because I did not have to deal with the mood change aspect. And I do know that a lot of people have had that. We also have the same dermatologist.
We do.
We both go to Spring Street Dermatology and then also on the side see Dr. Rita Linkner, who She's rocks.
Incredible. She's amazing.
She's incredible. Follow her on Instagram. Her skin is beautiful. She took me through my Accutane process before. Now she has like her own practice. Mm-hmm. You did the Accutane process at Spring Street, but she gives you your lasers.
Exactly. Exactly. I go religiously Rita follower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember that my most interesting Accutane side effect is that I just have a really sensitive stomach in general. And that sensitivity was amped to like a gazillion.
Really?
Yeah. I just like really anything can get my stomach off kilter. I saw an Ayurvedic doctor and she was like, yeah, that makes sense. She's like, I can see that actually. It exacerbated that. Like my ability to get car sick, all of that stuff was a lot worse, which I feel like is very strange.
That is strange. Yeah, as you know, when you're opening the packages of pills, each one has a little pregnant person on it with an X through it that's like, do not get pregnant. Like you can't not forget that part of it. So it's obviously that this thing is, it's strong medicine. And I wouldn't have gone on it, and I don't think you would have either, had we not felt like there was no other option.
Yeah, and also for me, I was just going up to I did it for I think it was like 8 months I was on it, and it was the 8 months right up until my wedding. And I know the reason that I personally chose to do it was that I was just like, I don't want to be worried about my skin on my wedding day. Like, I just want to take that one worry away because I was having the same issues as you, just like the hormonal chin acne that got so bad in the pandemic, like really intense. The maskne just plus my hormonal stuff, it got really bad. And I was finding that there was just nothing that I personally could do to control whether I was having it or not. Like nothing else was working. And I was just like, I will feel so horrible if I'm having one of these breakouts on my wedding day. And I have not found any strategy to prevent that from being the case.
Yeah. I had the exact same experience, obviously not leading up to my wedding, but just in terms of trying everything. Like there's not a night that I've come home even blackout drunk that I didn't remember to do my skincare routine, because I knew if my skin is given any reason to act a fool, she will. And I was just like,
Leah Michelle.
Stressful. She's Leah Michelle. That's the thing. She's Leah Michelle. And the thing is, I knew, again, like Leah Michelle, deep down, talented. But like Leah Michelle, I think she needs a handler. And that handler for me was Accutane.
Accutane. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting because I do get a lot of people who like ask me to tell me like, oh, I want to try it, or what do you think, blah, blah, blah. It's really hard to give, like, anyone a personal recommendation because it is actually so intense and individualized. Like you said, like, we were both dry, but you had joint pain. My stomach was messed up. Some people have really serious, like, mental health side effects. So, obviously, it's like, you want to be working with a doctor that you really like and who's really mm-hmm. with it, which that was great about Spring Street, too, is that, like, every check-in with them, they covered all the different things. They made sure that my mental health was right. You want to make sure that you're on that. Whatever doctor you're seeing is very much taking a look at all of those different things that can be happening.
Yeah, 100%. And this is maybe an obvious disclaimer, but neither of us are doctors. Based on our experiences alone, please consult a doctor if you are thinking of going down this road.
Yeah. And hey, again, Spring Street Dermatology, if you're in New York, they've got a bunch of doctors there. And I can vouch for them as wonderful. So going back to the Accutane packaging, which is really intense. Anyone who's had it knows that it's every single pill has a don't get pregnant lady on it. The fold out shows you like what would happen to your baby if you got pregnant on it, which is a lot. And then my favorite, but the funniest part of the whole Accutane experience to me is the quiz that you have to take every month. That's just like the most basic sex ed quiz reminding you how to not get pregnant.
Yeah. And they would have a trick question on there. It would be like, is just wishing to not be pregnant enough? And I would be like, okay.
Okay, no.
I wish it was, but no.
Yeah, it's basically for anyone who's listening who hasn't taken it, it's like you have to log in every month to get your new, to re-up on your Accutane. You have to log in every month and basically take truly like a basic sex ed quiz that is like, what are two forms of birth control that you are using right now? And then you have to click, because you have to be using two forms of birth control, they say. And then it's like the questions like that. They're like, is it true that you can't get pregnant when you're on top? And you have to be like, no. No, exactly. And they're like, if the condom breaks, what do you do? I haven't taken a quiz like that since the eighth grade, maybe.
No, absolutely not. It was, and that whole, I think it was called like the iPledge system or something.
iPledge, yes.
Yeah, iPledge. It had like very like Pledge of Allegiance vibes. But yeah, and I remember being like, do I have to be on two forms of birth control if I'm not having sex? And they were like, yeah, you do.
Yeah. Get it's with like, it. You do.
Okay. They're like, start fucking, Bailey. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're on two forms of birth control, so you might as well hop to it.
Your skin's about to look amazing. Like, you're going to start fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. With this skin, honey, you need two forms of birth control.
Yeah, things are going to change for you, babe. Things are going
to change. You're glowing, darling. Okay. Here's another thing that we have done together that's part of our friendship. One night, we got really drunk, watched YouTube videos at your house, and both bought the same eye cream because AOC said that she bought it. Or it's an under eye concealer.
Under eye concealer, yep. Color corrector,
are you still
say.
Using a color corrector? Are you still using it? Because I am. It's my color corrector of choice.
I use it every single time I wear makeup. Every single time?
So I'm gonna shout out for everyone is the Becca Cosmetics Under Eye Brightening Corrector. And we saw AOC did, I don't know, you know how she's always going
like
live.
A Vogue
cooking.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Someone was asking her and she was like, when I go to Congress, all I do is this. And we bought it immediately right then and there.
On the spot, on our phones, yep.
Purchased and done. And then I lost it once and I immediately bought a new one because I was like, I can't even go 1 second without my progressive eye concealer. And then I found the other one. So now I'm actually like, I have a lot of
stocked.
I'm stocked for years, basically, because it doesn't take that much.
No, mine's still going, my little pot. It's really, really good. If you're like me and Elise, who have like olive skin, we get under, I feel like we get easily purpley blue under eye.
Yeah.
Moments. Like putting that on and then putting on just like a regular under eye thing over it, like a concealer, to me, it's like magic.
Yeah. And I'll even say I've used it as a little like spot concealer before, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just every once in a while when I do happen to get a pimple, which does still sometimes happen to me, not as much, but
brave.
We all have trials and tribulations in this world, and I've used it as just like a spot concealer too. So
it's really good.
That is the Becca Cosmetics. I feel like I should do a disclaimer, which is that Jackie always does cruelty-free products on this podcast, and I can't speak to the cruelty-free nature of the products that we are talking about at this moment.
Yeah. True.
So if that's like a really, really important part of Natch Butte's Rex for you, number one, I'm very sorry. And number two, just Google it first because I didn't do my due diligence on that one. All right. Do you have any new products that you've been using? Anything that has been bringing you joy lately?
Great question. Okay. No, but I did just get lasers.
Ooh, okay, yes. Tell us about the lasers. Tell us about the lasers. Rita's lasers. Tell us all about them.
Okay, they were amazing. I love them. I did a combination of the, I think it's called RF microneedling. So it's like microneedling with also a laser in it. And then, so she did that first on my face and neck, and then she did the clear and brilliant over that. So the microneedling laser one, like, targets, like, collagen stimulation and skin tightening, and the clear and brilliant does, like, color correction. So I have a lot of acne scars, and that's why I wanted to get lasers in the first place. That was my big, less than, like, skin tightening and collagen producing. Like, I don't feel like I'm there yet, but, like, I definitely have missed, like, color issues because of my years of acne. So it's awesome. I'm obsessed. If I was a wealthy woman, I would do it like once a month or something. I don't even know if that's allowed, but like I would try to. It was awesome.
You would illegally get clear and brilliant.
I would black market clear laser my face. Rita would be like, and I would be like, damn it. Awesome. You look like a tomato for 3 hours. You look like a damn tomato. Like me going back from the Upper East Side to Brooklyn was like the way that people tried to not look at me on the subway, I respected.
Like, this woman's ill. Something's like, wrong with this woman.
Like, just like giving me, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, something, I'm fine. I'm just vain ultimately. But it was awesome and it's really helped my acne scars. And I also just feel like I'm glowing, but maybe that's in my head.
Yeah.
But I really think I am.
Oh, I think you're always glowing. I got free clear and brilliant once because this is actually my biggest beauty fail ever. I used to be full-time at Betches. If you guys follow that Instagram account, Betches LLC, it's like, they're really famous for their Instagram, but they got books. It's a whole lifestyle brand. I write their political newsletter for the Betches Sup. While I was still working full-time in the office, we got an option of 3 different free procedures at this place in New York. And it was either you could do laser hair removal, Botox, or Cool Sculpting. And I, at the time, was like, well, I'm just going to do the thing that's the most expensive thing. I'm going to try to get, I have to get the most bang for my buck, which was the Cool Sculpting. So Cool Sculpting is like a thing where they attach a giant suction to you and they freeze your stomach. And supposedly that will be, it'll make your fat go away or whatever. I didn't even really, Literally, it wasn't even something that I just chose it because it was the most expensive thing. So I go to get the cool sculpting. It's incredibly painful, number one. Outrageously painful procedure, which I was not expecting. And also, I didn't do my due diligence to Google things. I think I was 25 at this time, and I just did this in the stupidest way possible, just being like, this is the most expensive, I'm going to go do it. Didn't look it up at all. Didn't really think about it. I end up going in and getting this done. So, like, they, like, suction different parts of you and freeze you, and it really hurts. And then they give you the world's most painful massage after they unsuction you, right? So I have four different sections they were suctioning, and then on the last section, they forgot me. And they left me suctioned into the machine for an hour, and I didn't know what was going on, and I was trapped, and I was just watching the Kardashians for a really, really long time until finally the nurse came in, and she was like, oh my God, the machine wasn't on the entire time. And I was like, what? No. They're like, we have to do it all again. The machine wasn't on. And I was just like, okay. So I ended up being there for a really, really long time. I got really, really hungry. And as an end result, they gave me a free Clear and Brilliant for doing that. And your stomach feels tingly, like you have weird nerve damage in the area that you got suctioned for like a really long time. And there was no noticeable change of any kind to my body in any way. So I would say enormous fail on my part. I really should have gotten the laser hair removal or the Botox.
Yeah, but
I'm so pissed that I didn't get the Botox because I was like, it wasn't on my mind at that. I know, but it's preventative. And I'm like, oh God, if I could go back in time and tell my 25-year-old self anything, I would have been like, get the laser hair removal or the Botox. Stay away from the cool sculpting.
I love that you're
going to horrible experience.
Cash in your time traveling to make sure that you don't cool sculpt. I actually viscerally remember this selfie that you sent our group chat when you were hooked up to that cool sculpt machine and you were like, I am having major regrets. This is horrific. And we were just like, can you go? And you were like, No, I'm trapped. I'm sucked into the machine.
I'm sucked in. And it was so bad because I just didn't realize how, and this is not like, I'm a full honey in that this is not plastic surgery shaming at all. Everyone should do whatever the hell they want, absolutely, whatever makes them feel good. But I just wasn't prepared for the fact that they were going to circle fat pockets on my body and then take a picture of me. Yeah. That I really should have done a lot more research before going into that situation.
That kind of like drawing on your body moment you need to mentally prepare for that. That can't just be thrown on you.
Exactly. You need to know that you're going into having like your tummy circled in a negative way. And I was not I was not prepared for that to happen. So that's my review of cool sculpting. But again, God bless everyone. Do whatever you want. If you want to get sucked up to a machine and have the world's worst massage, God bless you. And
God bless. I think that that's the thing about procedures is like they can work for what works for one person. Like I was talking to somebody that got PRP, like the vampire facial famously with Kim Kardashian. Well, a lot of people do that for their scalp to grow hair.
And they even know that.
Mm-hmm. And like people have really mixed results. Like some people it doesn't really help at all. Some people it's like life changing. And it's just like your body when you're for certain things, especially like your body chemistry, like it's just kind of a crapshoot. So that's why I always think it's good when a doctor is honest with you about that. They're like, this could be really helpful, but like anything, like everybody's body's different and reacts differently. Everybody should say that every time you do any, you shouldn't just be like, I'm doing cool sculpting. You're going to magically not have an ounce of fat on your body anymore. Like what?
Yeah, it really is, as far as like beauty and all of that stuff goes, it is truly like everyone is their own special snowflake. Yeah. And what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for another. And like the best procedure one person's ever had in their life might be like the worst experience someone else has had. Like I'm sure that there are people out there who swear by cool sculpting and love it so much. And they probably went into it prepared for the knowing maybe, what it was and not just being like, well, this is the most expensive thing, so I'm going to get it.
Nothing is more 25 than saying, I'm going to get the most expensive thing without any research at all.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's free. So obviously I'm going to get the most expensive thing for free. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Not the most useful thing. Like, no. Just purely numbers-based decision that I made. Okay. I want to shift now because you are the cruise queen. And I think that this is something that we can bring that is very different to Natch Butte. Perhaps the honeys have never... I'm sure some of the honeys are cruisers. Some of the honeys maybe would never have considered the cruise life. You work for Virgin Voyages, which is the newest cruise line?
I think so, unless there's one I like don't know about, which is surely, you know, could be, somewhere in the world there could be a newer one. It's probably the newest, most notable one in America right now. And we're also launching in the Mediterranean this summer. But yes, we only have two ships right now, and we'll be launching a third at the end of the summer. So I had admittedly never been on a cruise before working for a cruise line.
I had never been on a cruise until you very graciously allowed me to board the Scarlet Lady.
She's gorgeous.
And the Scarlet Lady, she's a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
And our friend Katie Ruth Ashcraft, wonderful director, video producer over at Jezebel, she and I got to take the cruise together. Neither of us had ever cruised. I never thought about cruising in my life. It was absolutely the greatest 3 days I've ever experienced. It was just truly so much fun. So first of all, I guess I'll start asking you, because I feel like people like have a lot of ideas about what cruises are or what they traditionally entail. So why don't you say, like, what makes the Virgin Cruise a little bit different? What's the mentality going into the Virgin Voyage that is different from other cruises and whatnot?
Yeah. So the reason that Richard Branson wanted to start a cruise line is he wanted to create a cruise that he and his family would want to go on. And I sort of liken it to the way that if you've ever been on a Virgin flight, it's like different than regular flying. It's like
really get those purple lights,
luxurious. Everybody's so kind and British, and you get a prosecco when you walk on. It's just like you feel elegant, even though I look like a piece of trash when I'm traveling. So I'm like, these people are confused. But basically, there's a lot of stereotypes about cruises. That there's like a slide and a roller coaster running through it, and that it's all buffets, and there's assigned timings for things, and you kind of can't live your own path, or you can't have sort of control over the domain of your vacation, which you can have maybe not on a cruise. So our sort of goal was to create that on a cruise so you can do whatever you want, whether you want to go on and be a late night partier and go to bed at 5 a.m., or if you want to go to bed at 9 p.m. and wake up and do sunrise yoga on the deck. There's sort of like a path for every kind of vacationer. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple ways we did that, like we have only do restaurants. We don't have one big dining hall. The food is out of control.
The food is out. Like, the food was so good. It's every single restaurant is like the best restaurant I've ever been to in my life. The Test Kitchen was so much fun because it's one of those like molecular gastronomy places where I was just like, to go to this restaurant in New York, it would be the price of the cruise.
1,000,000%.
All the food is free, which I know that's really different from other cruises where I think the buffets are usually free, but if you want to go to a fancy restaurant on the cruise, it's not going to be free. All the food is free.
Correct. That's correct. That's exactly true. If you want to do the buffet, dining hall thing at most other cruises, that's included as I understand it, but not like the fancy dining rooms, whereas all of ours are, they're not all fancy, they have all different like vibes, but each eatery or restaurant, if you will, is included. So you get to have these, like, one night you can have Korean barbecue and the next night you can
have
the steak.
Loved Gunbae.
Gunbae is so much fun. It's so much fun. Yeah, so like the food is, I really think, a big standout, but it's also a smaller ship. So it's like a mid-sized cruise ship. It's not like one of those huge ones. And I think that sort of helps add to it. No matter where you are on the ship, like the spaces are designed so that you can see the sea, so that you very much feel like you're at sea, which I really like. Because I think it's, my understanding is that on some ships, like, you can maybe not even know you're on the ocean. which it's like, what's the point? In my opinion.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts was just like the one day that we had that was fully out at sea and just like going out on my little balcony and looking out onto the ocean. We also did, there is a spa on the ship, which was like pretty reasonable. It was like $35 for the day, I think, to go to the spa. And we got a little mud facial and there was, what is it, like a porthole? What's the round window? Okay. Okay. So there was a beautiful porthole and I like laid on a salt slab and read my fantasy book and looked out at the sea. And I think I really achieved a level of peace that I have not previously attained.
It's called Redemption Spa for a reason. It like genuinely, that thermal spa is heavenly. And I'm not just saying that because I work there, because like, look, I did not expect, I'm going to be so honest, I did not expect, when I first started working with them years ago, I was kind of like, I love the brand, so I'm not a cruise person, whatever. I did not, the first time I stepped on that boat, I was shook by how much fun I had, how much I loved it, how like wrong I was about cruising in general. And so I sort of was like humbled by it a little bit. I was like, oh, I was a snob. And I thought I knew what I was walking into and I absolutely didn't.
I feel really similarly. Well, first of all, I feel like we should tell everyone that this cruise line was supposed to launch March 2020. Mm-hmm. So y'all have been like, it's been its own journey to even get to the sea.
We were supposed to go on a quick little like friends and family thing on, I think it was like March 15th. And
yes, the world closed down on March 12th. Because my husband and I, we were originally going to do that. And then it's like, no, no, actually, you're not going to do anything for 2 years.
Not only are you not going on this vacation, you're not going anywhere. No, that was crazy. And I think I'm really impressed by like how everybody at the company handled it, just like even attitude wise, like everybody just kind of stayed. Everybody was just cognizant of the fact that there was like something bigger going on and that we weren't the only people totally fucked by this pandemic. It was never like a woe us situation. It was just like, this is the reality and like, we're going to figure it out and eventually we're going to start sailing. And I was really grateful for that. I came out of it with a lot of respect for them because it wasn't like, oh, we have been fucked. It's like, no, yeah, everyone.
Yeah, like the worst part of this pandemic is that our cruise couldn't launch.
No.
Everything's just really bad right now.
Yeah. And so everybody was very, that was like a really nice, it's like nice when you find out that the company you work for is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah.
So you've gotten to go on a couple of the cruises.
Multiple, yes.
Multiple. Do you have a favorite?
So I have done several in the Caribbean and then one in England, from England to Belgium. And they're really different because, and then I'll do one in Greece in August.
Oof.
But
oof, that sounds,
I know,
amazing.
Poor me. But I really love the Caribbean. England was great, but I think that if I had to pick, I would say I'm obsessed with Bimini, which like almost all of our Caribbean cruises go to. And we have this like little private resort there.
I'll just, I guess I should mention that if you were to take the Virgin Voyage and you were to go to Bimini and you were to get on the tram, I am the voice of the tram.
This is a huge reveal.
The voice that you're hearing now, you'll hear it say, "Welcome to the Bimini Beach Club."
I'm obsessed with it. The first time I got on and you hadn't heard it yet, I was just like, she's never going to believe this when she sees it. She's the voice of the tram in Bimini, Bahamas.
It really was. I didn't realize that I had a life goal of being a tram until I became a tram. Mm-hmm. And now it definitely is a highlight. My family used to vacation in Wildwood, New Jersey, on the Jersey Shore. And they actually have a very famous tram in Wildwood that is rude. And it yells, "Watch the tram car, please." And And trams have been a really important part of my vacation life. And so when I got to tell my, even when I told my family, like, oh, I'm going to be the tram, they were like, you should be rude. I don't think this is that. It's not the Jersey Shore. I don't think they want me to be like nasty.
No, not really a brand. But I do love that the Jersey Shore tram stays loyal to its brand. Like, I find Absolutely. That so respectable.
Well, you can tell that it was like a last minute thought. They were like, oh God, someone's got to record the voice of the tram. Cheryl, can you come over here? And she's just like, watch the tram car, please. And then like goes back to whatever her real job is. And that's the recording that it's been for, has to be decades now, which is a beautiful, so beautiful thing, but it is a different vibe. So, okay. I wanted to end, cause now we've talked about cruises. Maybe some of the honeys are thinking about, okay, yeah. Do I want to cruise? What's the deal? So I'll give you my assessment of what I think a great time to cruise would be. So I think if you are someone who does not want to do a ton of touristy things at the destination, like you kind of just want to travel to a beautiful place, chill there. Travel to a beautiful place, chill there. There are a couple, like you can do shore excursions, which we did do. But if your whole thing is that like you love to hit up museum, and like be all over the town, maybe that's not, it's not like, that's not exactly how you experience the destinations, I felt. I feel like it would also be a really great trip on a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. I think it's because it is, it's a pretty penny to cruise. I think it's worth, I think that you get your money's worth on this Virgin cruise, especially because of like how good the food is and that it's free. You do pay for alcohol on board, but our friend who I went with, she doesn't drink. So she didn't spend any money on alcohol on board. I spent a little. But I was also not, I'm not getting wasted while she's just kind of sitting there. So you like once you're on that amount that you pay to get on the ship really does cover a lot. And so if you want like a special romantic trip where you're just going to different beautiful locations, I think it would be great for a honeymoon. And I also noticed, which I thought was really cool, that the entire ship and all the excursions and everything was super duper accessible. Mm-hmm. So I noticed a lot of people with just like different levels of mobility, some people with wheelchairs, whatever. And they were very like everything on the ship, they would have been able to access.
Yeah, that's important. Because the thing is, like, something that I sort of didn't know until I started working in it is like it's a really, really wonderful and actually fairly economical way to see the world. Not everybody, and not even just in a mobility sense, but think I took for granted sort of my geographical knowledge of the world and like that maybe I could fly to a place and know where to go and what to do in those places and how to get there. I think cruises do a lot of work for you. So if maybe that doesn't come naturally to you or you just aren't as familiar with travel, like it's a really good way to explore new places that you wouldn't have otherwise gone, which I wasn't really in touch with, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at the, like, what I was saying at first, which is if you're someone who loves to make, like, adventure itinerary for yourself, and it's, like, your dream to, I'm going to go there and I'm going to plan out everything and I'm going to do all this stuff myself, the cruise isn't really that. But if you're someone who's, like, I want my handheld and I want to float on a gorgeous ship to a beautiful location and then have a really nice person give me a bunch of options of what to do and I pick one and have it be kind of a light lift. I think there are a lot of people of different ages. There are no kids on this cruise.
Yeah, no kids. Very important. 21 and up.
21 and up cruise. But I noticed like people of all different age groups, a lot of older people, and it made sense to me that I was like, this is a really easy, light lift where you're not worrying about like getting on another flight, moving from here to here, figuring out the train station, figuring out this and that. It's like you get on this cruise ship and they've got you. So I think it makes sense for like trips with parents, for a honeymoon where you just want to be super relaxed and I don't know, buy a pool in a hot tub floating around.
I mean, here's the thing also is I think it would be good for group trips because I keep thinking about bachelorette trips where you're planning for like 14 different personalities. You did it. And it's once you get there, you have to think about transportation. You have to think about like booking dinner. And does everybody want to go to the same bar afterwards? And it sort of like you can do all of that. Like you can book a dinner together, but then you can also like, if some people want to go to the spa one day and other people want to drink at the pool one day, like both of those things can happen in tandem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I wasn't even thinking about like bachelorette trips, but anything that's like a big milestone trip, you know, it is like, it is something that you're going to be spending a little bit of money on. So I think it makes sense for it to be kind of like a special trip. But yeah, I was floored by how much fun I had as someone who has never in a million years considered cruising of any kind.
I know. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you one final question and then I'm going to let you go. Can you explain for anyone who now they've signed up, they're going on the Virgin Voyage, what is Scarlet Night?
So Scarlet Night is it's based in the romance between the sea and the sailor who fell in love with the moon. And it's a celebration of this romance. So it's this one, it's this night that we have, at least one night for every voyage, where the ship is drenched in scarlet red. So there's activations happening all over the ship, from like a giant dance party up on the pool deck to mini activations to a dance party afterwards in our sort of like club event space. And you're supposed to wear like a splash or pop of red. It's supposed to feel like something you've never seen before. It's supposed to be interactive. It's supposed to have moments of where you're just watching. It's moments of like you could actually be sort of a participant if you want to. Or you could ignore that it's even happening at all and go to dinner and do your own thing, which is such a
I think it'd be hard to not notice that Scarlet Night is happening. In my experience, Scarlet Night, Katie and I were floored. We had an amazing time on Scarlet Night. So they blow up an enormous big red octopus and they put it on the like deck, on the pool deck. And my Scarlet Night experience was that Katie and I got to the pool deck like a little early, like kind of before all the festivities were happening. And the octopus was blown up, and the music had started. And there was this blonde woman in a little red dress, and she was dancing her ass off in front of this octopus, just going nuts. So we were like, okay, she's got to like, she works here. This is her job. Okay, her job is to dance in front of the octopus, get the party started. Then someone from the ship started just like cleaning, like literally sweeping her away. And we were like, oh, she doesn't work here. She's just having the time of her life. And then there is a dance group comes. They perform all around the pool. They do an enormous choreographed routine, which Katie and I were on the upper deck and we like watched. And we were watching Lady in Red. And Lady in Red was circling. There was this other man, and we called him Mr. Hat because he had a hat. And we saw them see each other from across the room and just start dancing towards each other. They were getting closer and closer, and then one friend would like cock block them and get in the way. There was one friend who was dancing in between them, and Katie and I were like, get away! They're in love! Like, let them come together. And then finally, we walked away and I hit my right pen. And when we came back, we couldn't find them. And we looked down and Mr. Hat, all of his clothes and his hat were just laying on the ground like he had Wicked Witched into the...
like he had melted into Scarlet Night.
He had absolutely melted. And we were like, what's going on? And then we just saw them both dancing in the pool together. Yes. They had finally come together. And this if anything was going to celebrate the love between this man and the sea, it was Lady in Red and Mr. Hat and watching them circle the pool until they met right in the water. It was so beautiful.
I think that what you just described is a really perfect way to describe what Scarlet Night is. Like you just described it. Not everyone's going to see that. They're going to see their own version of that, but you're going to see something like that.
You're going to see something
that's
like
really
that.
Beautiful.
And yeah, the people watching on a cruise is also really, really amazing.
It's amazing.
So
it's amazing.
Not to make this just a big old ad for cruising, but I felt like if I'm going to have the cruise queen, if I'm going to bring the cruise queen on the pod.
We got to talk cruises.
We got to talk cruises.
Oh, so, you know what I got to say? There's a Medi Spa on board. There's a Medi Spa on board.
Yes. Yes, that's also true. Katie and I did get pedicures like immediately upon getting
yeah,
to the ship.
You're like overlooking the ocean. So it is, it does have, it's very catered to honeys. Like they've got that going on, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. We also, we took a, there was like a cycling class. There's a really nice gym with all these different classes. All that's free too. So we did cycling. It was really a wonderful time. And you know what else was a wonderful time? Bailey, having you on this podcast.
This was so fun.
And getting to guest host Natch Butte, which is a true dream of mine come true. On par with being a tram.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Being a tram and
so
Natch
Bailey.
Butte are...
Being a tram, host Natch Butte, now these things are off my bucket list.
So proud of you.
Bailey, my love, if people want to find you, if people want to follow you, you're not like the biggest social media person, but if people want to like find your Instagram and see this curly hair we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
do the people find Bailey?
Look, if you want to see pictures of my nephew, sometimes I'll do an imitation of Michael Barbaro. Like, it ranges. Mm-hmm. I have range, just like my skin. You can find me at BEDWERDS on Instagram.
That's
at,
beautiful. And guys,
at Bedwards.
At Bedwards. And guys, if you enjoyed listening to me, you want to follow me, you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram. That's PANDALISE. I'm also Alise Navidad on Twitter, which is ALISENAVIDAD. But I'm flirting with deleting Twitter every second of the day.
Yeah, I did.
So by the time this episode comes out, I may or may not be there, friends. It's a debate that rages within me every day. But you can also find me on TikTok at Alise Navidad. Guys, oh my God, I almost didn't ask you the most important question.
Oh my God.
Bailey, do you cream your neck?
I never forget to cream my neck.
Of course you do. And for everybody listening at home, cream your neck.
Cream
and
your
keep
neck.
Your fringe fresh.